Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated this morning. Thank you, worship team. I just have to say to this worship team, thank you for doing incredible, not only this morning, but they've been all weekend. So thank you for serving the girls' ministry. It's an additional part of the generosity of this church. It's just not the building, it's the people. And so thank you for availing your talents to the district, our network, over the weekend so that the girls' ministry leaders can be at their best all across our network. That gave me goosebumps thinking Friday night, that over Friday and most of the day yesterday, to think the plans of God that would stir our girls' ministry leaders, that would go back into the churches of our network. And same thing for Rangers, all right? Let me talk about Rangers, girls' ministries. We need them. In a culture that is greatly confused when it comes to genders. And not just roles, but what all that is, that we can have ministries. And that's why I love it, is that we have ministries that can instruct our kids and young men, young women, to what it is to live it out godly. And so grateful for Lisa, for Jared, for leading our ministries in that way. We've got a wonderful church. And may the leaders go inspired with plans of God that'll just ripple out. And so thank you for, as a church, to opening your doors so that Lisa could do that ministry here. Love it. Well, good morning, Calvary Church, and to those not only here, but those are online. We're grateful that you have carved out some time this weekend to be with us. It's never taken for granted that we gather together. Do have a special announcement this morning. Some of you probably already know, but in case you didn't, the family of Adeline Techmeyer asked me to share with you this morning that earlier this morning, Adeline stepped into our Heavenly Father's arms this morning. And so we mourn, but we also celebrate. Got to know Adeline a little bit over the last couple weeks. Yeah, let's celebrate. Because our hope is not, the end isn't in a casket, right? And so Adeline was very direct with me in some of my visits. She's like, either God gets me up out of this bed or take me home, I'm ready, either way. And I just loved her faith. And I pray, if I live into my 90s, that I have that type of spunk, you know? I mean, it's like, I want that spark. And we'll talk a little bit about that spark today, but we'll be passing along further details to you all as we get them from the family. But can we just take a moment and pray for Kurt and the family, and just that God's strength will be with them. Talking with Kurt even yesterday after men's ministry, but even again this morning, you know, it's one thing to talk bravely. My mom's 93, and so I know that there'll be a day that I'll be facing the day like Kurt and Adeline's family is facing today. And but what a confidence. It's not, it's that double-edged sword. You miss the connectedness that you have and just the comfort that your mom is right there. But what a hope and what a confidence we have that she's with our Heavenly Father and she's reunited with a lot of loved ones. Let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Adeline. We thank you for her faith and her life that has influenced so many, not only of Calvary Church, but a number of churches in our area. We're grateful for a life well lived. And Lord, we just celebrate that she's with you. And today we just pray for Kurt, for Karen, for Don, for the family, Lord, that I just pray that you just put your loving arms around them in the moments where they do feel the physical loss of mom. Let them be reminded of your comfort and your strength and the hope that we celebrate in today. We just pray your comfort be with them in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. All right. So I think you're starting to get to know Stacy and I a little bit. Sometimes we may not roll like your typical pastor, or if you feel like we're doing that, good, okay, that's good. But we may not always roll like the typical pastor, and that's, it's a good thing. Thank you. It's a good thing. So I'm going to do something that I haven't done too often, so roll with me a little bit. So I want you to, right where you're at, I want you to close your eyes, all right? And so as you're closing your eyes, I want you to, I want to do a little word association. So as your eyes are closed, when I say the face of God, what comes to mind? So start locking in the face of God. And I want to ask one thing, and it's more specifically, what expression is on his face? Now you can open your eyes. So what expression did you see? And was he smiling? So turn with me to our passage today. We're going to talk about the smile of God, that God smiles on us. God shines on us. And one of the great things about the blessing that we've been going through for the last several weeks, been revealing a lot. I'm just telling you, as I'm getting ready for this, I've been enjoying this. And adding and learning even more of just the nuance and the character of God. But look at our passage, Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. And whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them. So the past several weeks, we've been looking at how God blesses, how he protects. So I'm going to do something that's going to be a little different, and that is, let's add some emojis to this, all right? Emojis, icons, so this will be the first time I've done it in a message as part of Youth Alive. We went on a journey 4 or 5 years ago, we started 5 years ago, and just before COVID, we released a new resource called Alive in Five, which put the gospel message tied to 5 icons, trying to make it simple, memorable for students to be able to remember so that even they could start a text conversation to be able to share the gospel. And so today is an attempt to bring our passage, just trying something different. And I think I can do it. Let's look at this passage, but using some emojis, all right? So the Lord bless you. So let me throw a few emojis out. I think of the smiley face with the smiley eyes. So let's start there. That's the blessing of God. Good, they're up there. And so trust me, I did not learn this at North Central University when I was doing my undergrad. Didn't learn this at my master's from Southwestern. This is just my amusing. But then we start talking about the blessing of God. Let's look at, you know, I can think of a thumbs up, fist bump, exclamation point. I mean, there's just something about the blessing of God. Yeah. You know, it could be a high five, whatever. But you're getting the point. Now the Lord keep you. The thing that comes to my mind is a biceps. The muscles of God. God's muscles can keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. So I started thinking of a face blowing a kiss. God loves you. Love you, honey. But God loves you. And I also sit there and thought of an emoji of God's light bulb, you know, light bulb being God's light. When he smiles on you, it's a radiation of his love for us. And we'll learn about that today. And be gracious to you. I think of a winking emoji. I gotcha. God will be gracious to you. Then the Lord turn his face to you. I'm thinking of a smiling face with the heart-shaped eyes. When God looks at you, when he turns his face to you, he sees an object of his love. And then, so last but not least, and may he give you peace So let's go right here. So I see party poppers, hand claps, cupcakes. I love cupcakes. And tears of joy. I see it all. I see all of that right there when we think of the peace of God. Because when God's peace anchors our life, it's a party, right? And last but not least, an emoji with tears and laughter, because I'm sitting there thinking of all my college professors who are either dead and gone and turning over in their graves right now, or those, if they had ever happened to watch, rolling their eyes at me. So I know you're immediately kind of going, Kent, you're not really taking this blessing thing really seriously, all right? Actually, I think I am. So let's step back for a moment. Think back to when I asked you, what did you see when you saw the face of God? Did you see a smiling face? I hope you didn't see a disappointed face. I hope you didn't see a neutral face. Because you know what? God's not a neutral face. He's not an angry face. He is a smiley face with smiling eyes. He's a God that is so in love with you and wants the best for you. So let's dig into our passage, and I want you to see it from a different, couple different. So not only will God smile on you, but when you look at a couple different translations, it's not that the word changes, it's how they, when you start to bring it from Hebrew, which has very definitive, not there's isn't like the whole vocabulary in English. English, we've got many words that would describe what in Hebrew will be one. And so when we begin to look at God's face, when we think about God smiling on us, look at it in Numbers chapter, in verse 25, look at it in the ESV, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. It's very similar to the NIV, but just a tad different. The Lord make his face shine on you. So as the priest would begin to talk about God shining in all of who he is, think of in Scripture, other encounters this way. Moses, in Exodus 34, Moses came away from an encounter in God's presence glowing. God shined on him to the degree that people couldn't have a conversation with Moses until he literally veiled himself. Then people could approach Moses because it was that bright. God wants to let his bright light shine in our life. So this blessing, this prayer, is powerful. And I love how Bible scholar Ronald Allen puts it. He says, this is a prayer that's for community, but its force is realized in the life of the individual. So yeah, you can broadcast this out, but the power of this message is going to be in your heart. It's when it's lived out in all of our life. And it was fun watching God start to do that this morning. As God began, as people were prayed for, God began to shine his presence into situations this morning. And here's the great part. So when we begin to start talking about God smiling on us, shining on us, here's where we're going. Jesus shines light into our life. You're a child of the light. And to be a child of the light, get this, to be a child of the light, to be a child of something is to be characterized by that thing. So if we are a child of light, that means his presence becomes one of our distinguishing characteristics. So when we invite Jesus to be that Lord and leader of our life, when we devote of all that, his characteristic of light starts to radiate where people start to see a difference about us. I love how A.W. Tozer says it. What comes to mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So if God was texting us this morning, and guess what? He has texted us. It's called his word. So as God texts us, he goes, we will find a ton of smiling faces in Scripture. We're going to find a lot because we are the apple of his eyes. He can't take his eyes off of you. He smiles on you. It's the grace that in this point, there will be a day of judgment. But this is a day of that God has literally in his love, he's calling people to be able to come to him. He wants to show people his true face, which is a face of shining in our lives. A.W. Tozer says this again. He goes, God is above, but he's not pushed up. He is beneath, but not pressed down. He's outside, but not excluded. He is inside, but not confined. God is above all things, presiding beneath all things, sustaining, outside all things, embracing, and inside all things, filling. That's the immanence of God. See, God is all around us all the time in all that we face, shining his love, shining his presence into whatever we are facing. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 139, verse 5. It says this, you hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. As the psalmist said, you hem me in behind and before. When I start thinking of this blessing, when I think of this verse, I think of God tucking us in. Do you remember the moments when you were a kid and your parents tucked you in at night? There was something that was awesome about having the covers tight because you felt an embrace. And it's so easy to walk away from that memory because then it's like, well, yeah, I like my left leg out. You know, if your left foot's cool, then your whole body's cool. It's we all start to grow into different things, but may we never lose sight of that embrace, that God is with us to the degree he's right there. Look at it in another one in Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. See, God is as close to you as you call on him. So if you feel like God is distant today, call. That's why that message was so fitting for today. Come. It's been on my heart the last couple days. Come. If you're hurting, come. One of the greatest words you could hear is come home. You have a God that's saying, come home. Don't run life alone. Powerful. See, God, that word close that we see in Psalm 145, it's plural. And in other words, it means God is near in every way imaginable. Just like we learned how God protects, that God goes before us, he's behind us, he's on all sides. Here's the great thing when it comes to the closeness of God is that he is nearest to us in every imaginable way. So let's break down what this shining of God really looks like. Let me bring you to one of my favorite pictures, all right? Throw that up if you don't mind. So for the last 9 years, Stacy and I, in May of every year, so May of 2024, will break a whole tradition of 9 years, that in Daytona, Florida, Daytona Beach, we would lead our Youth Alive Missionaries retreat, leadership retreat. And one of our favorite things was to always, even if it was the very next day after we got in from a long day of flying to get to Florida, we would get out to the beach. There's nothing like it when you're watching the sunrise come over that body of water. And you hear the seagulls and the birds singing, the roars of the waves, the salt smell in the air. It's just awesome. And this is the way that it's a great picture of God shining in our life. And when I look at this, it brings incredible comfort. In fact, can't wait to think of days of going to the bay and watching the sun come up when it's a little warmer. Probably a lot warmer. I don't think I'll try it in January. But one of the great things is we so take this miracle for granted, but every day the sun rises. And so maybe you're walking through a dark season today and you're going, yeah, this light and this God stuff, I'm not buying it. Just know this, it's a constant every single day. God shines. And we've been experiencing it the last couple days with all the nice sun, a lot of rainstorms coming in. But guess what? Those clouds will pass. His sun will come out. And it's one of those reminders. In fact, the word in Hebrew that we have in our passage about God shining on us today, it literally, in its most basic intrinsic meaning, means it is to dawn. So have courage today in sunrise. See, it's that simple. In everyday miracles that we take for granted. So here's the challenge. The sunrise happens every single day. Have you ever seen it? Have you seen it to appreciate it? Do we take that moment to be reminded that God will break in our situation, in our life? Thomas Carlyle, a Bible scholar, says this: imagine a man who lived in his cave the entire life, stepping outside for the very first time to watch the sunrise. Carlyle said, the man who would walk with astonishment at a sight that so many of us daily watch with indifference. So many points it's so easy for us to take for granted that God's always shining. Always. John Donne said it this way: there is nothing that God has established in the course of nature, which therefore is done every day, but would be seen as a miracle and exercise adoration if it were done but once. So the word God, the word shine, means to dawn. It means to ignite. It's synonymous with the favor of God. At the core is to give light and to give sight. So my goal this weekend is that we walk out with a better understanding of what this blessing means. And so just so that we get the depth of it, I'm going to go on a theological tangent for a moment when we think of God's shining on our life. In 1 John chapter 4, we see this: so we have come to know, and I love this because John, in his first letter here, begins to, in 1 John chapter 4, he gives three-word descriptors for God. Have you ever tried to describe God to somebody? And to be able to get down to three words is pretty good. It's one of those things that's fun about emojis. Let's try to get it down to one emoji. It's difficult, but John nails it. So we have come to know, in chapter 4, verse 16, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We sang about that. That same power is in us. Look at chapter 1, just a few chapters earlier, verse 6, because it goes on to say another three-word descriptor, not only about his love, it goes, this message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light, and in him no darkness at all. Three-word sentences, but yet you can imagine, can you imagine a more complex sentence? God is love. God is light. We may not understand the nature of God if we don't understand the nature of light. When we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, when God created, then God said this in verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. See, God flipped a switch. In that very moment, he let out a different translation. This would be my personal translation. God said, let there be electromagnetic radiation. Let there be microwaves. Let there be light. Let there be gamma rays, X-rays, radio waves. Let there be light. Let there be health. Let there be color. Light is the basis for everything. Light is literally everything that we have in our world today functions off of light. In some points, we don't even realize it. When you think of, how many of you went through chemistry class? How many of you have the periodic table memorized? See, I flunked at it. So it's like, when I say flunked, I mean it. And that was like the earliest part of chemistry classes. You had to memorize the periodic table, and I didn't get very well. But the neat thing about the elements is what differentiates an element from another is how it interacts with light, how it absorbs light. It's part of what makes each element different, and we continue to find different elements. When we look at our food chain, photosynthesis. So when you go to Taco Bell later, Okay, no, I know about this church now. When you go to King Buffet later. All right. So as you're at King Buffet, and you're the food that we eat, we take it for granted, but we wouldn't have it without light. When we begin to look at color, light therapy, seasonal affective disorder, you can have it broke, have that lamp. When we begin to look at LASIK surgery, when we begin to think, yes, Lord, do it, lasers, it's light. Thinking of lasers, it helps you make sure that you have your pictures hung at the right level, in the right space. Thank you, Lisa, for borrowing Tony's toys and making sure all our pictures are in the right space at the right level. But see, that's the power of light. Light is the basics for everything. So here's the, and I think they showed it. Go ahead and pull up that scale. So there's parts, and there's a reason I'm going this way, all right? Because there's parts when we begin to look at, and this is the spectrum of light, looking at different waves. With the human eye, we can only see from 4/10 of a micron to the 7/10 of a micron. You're only seeing some of the middle part of what's on that spectrum. So if you go beyond 7/10 of a micron, everything starts to flow into infrared. If you go shorter, it becomes ultraviolet. There's so much to this. So many different spectrums, wavelengths. I was in my organizational leadership, and we literally had a retired general that came in for a couple days that led our cohort group. And here was his retiring from the Army, and very creative people that didn't retire. So his retirement dream was, how could we send power over a wavelength, like literally beam power itself from one point around the globe to power something else? And they've done it. It's not theory. There's a tower. If you go to Waxahachie, Texas, south of Dallas, that's about 30 miles directly south of Dallas. If you go another 20 miles south of Waxahachie, you will find, and I'm trying to think of the exact, it's like a plastic tower, but that makes it sound like it's not sturdy. But their signal tower is made out of plastic, and a plastic composite, no metal involved, but they can literally send power to a house or a building on the other side of the planet. It needs a special box to receive it. But as he was sharing this and unpacking this, if we have boxes on electric vehicles, we could keep them powered so they never have to have a charging system. They could travel as far as they want. All we have to do is beam power. So he's met with government officials, the military's fully in on it. And what's amazing is with their towers not being metallic, EMT type of devices that would disable our current systems completely would be unaffected. Brilliance. So here's the part of unpacking all this. Maybe there's more to this blessing than what we saw with even our spiritual eye. This is maybe an infrared blessing that God speaks over us, and even an ultraviolet blessing. Not trying to be over spiritual, but just being very real. There's more than what we would even expect to think and dream with God. It's why this series is so critical, and it's a cultural series for us as a church. We will only go as far as what our faith will stretch toward, on how we depend on God, how we trust Him, how we interact with one another. But it all comes back to our perspective of our God. When we see the magnitude of how He wants to bless us, to the degree that He will protect us, to the power that He wants to radiate and pour into our life. So our point this morning is to realize that there are blessings and categories that we don't even know exist. there's blessings of God for him to do immeasurably more than what we could ever ask, think, or imagine. What I'm saying is that this blessing is all I need. It's all that we need. That when we begin to capture on that, whether we know it all or not, that really he is all that we need. And I want to challenge you this weekend to receive it. Receive a blessing with the intent throughout the week, God, continue to show yourself your blessing in my life. Continue to show how you will protect me, you guard me through what I go through in this week. May this week you radiate and shine into my life, shine into my situations. See, I'm very aware that some people may have walked in here this weekend and, man, maybe you're coming from a very dark place, a discouraging place. You need to know God will illuminate that. He will turn that dreariness, that darkness, to light. He delights in doing that. It's not a have to, it's a delight. God does not look at us as we approach and bring our needs to him. Here's the great thing to know. God never feels obligated. Oh, I have to listen. I get to listen. It's the heart of God that he has for you. Remember the emojis with the heart-shaped eyes? God wants to illuminate his light in your life. He wants his love to flow to your situation. No matter what you have, just know that God is there. If I could have the worship team come, I just want us, as we go back into just a time of worship, I just want us to fixate on this, because one of the great parts, and I hope you're tracking with me, because in the beginning, God said, let there be light, and light becomes the basis for everything. We see it. In his creation, light is the foundation. But even beyond creation, when we look outside of ourselves, the creation of who we are, our being, light is critical. So when the priest came along and pronounced this blessing, Lord, let your face shine on you. It's God who created that light, who begins to shine in our lives. At the darkest moments, his light comes in, brings healing, brings power, brings the security, brings the hope. When you feel like you can't take one more step, guess what? There's his light. He's showing you the way. When you have that hesitation, he's there. It's powerful. And it's amazing that he wants to do this in all of our lives. So let me get to this part. Let me get to Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Because when we begin to realize, as God does his work, we don't need, we don't need the sun and the moon anymore as much as we just need God to illuminate the way. Philippians 2, look at it. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Let me take a pause on that. So here we are in a culture that looks at wrong being right, and anything right is wrong. Do what you want. Do as you care. It's a warped generation. And we could go through instances. I don't want to do a laundry list. We all know what has come to our mind when we see what's going on in culture today. When we see wars overseas that God never intended. But in the midst of that, in the midst of everything that's occurring in the globe today, he gives us this. When we do everything without grumbling or complaining, we turn and surrender to him. When we become blameless and pure, here's the great thing. As we turn ourselves to him, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. How beautiful. God's going to send us out this week And it's part of why we pronounce this blessing over you at the end of the service. And it's why we will do it every single week. Is we want you to go out with this confidence that service in your time with God is not confined to this Sunday morning. What God wants to do in Calvary Church is not dedicated to a service at 10:30 on Sundays. It's only the beginning. It's a rippling out. God will take you. See, Calvary Church is not this. Calvary Church is you. So when you go, I love our facilities, all right? And we will need to build more. But it's so that we can do more. So that more people will get connected to his light, his love. That when you go out, you're going out on mission. The life that in the change, the illumination that occurs in moments like this is not just to be savored on a Sunday morning, but it'll occur when you're at King Buffet. Perhaps when she gives you your bill and you're trying to understand her. You can just say before you pray, before you devour your food, and this is something I'm trying to remember, is that we will take the moment, is there anything we can pray with you about? So before you even dive into the food, reach out to others. Is there something, like your waitress, is there something we can pray with you right here, right now for? And watch God move. God's going to put you on mission to let his light beam out of you. You will shine like stars in the universe that'll touch this community. Long before they'd ever come to a service, they will feel the light and the love of God because he's radiating in you. It's a promise, it's a blessing that he wants to do in and through your life. So let me take the pressure off of this for a moment. Because when we look at this word here in Philippians says that we are to reflect. The shine word here, where the other one was illumination, this one we're reflecting. But let me take the pressure off of this and close with this. You have to do nothing. I'm not asking you to hype something up. Not asking you to be somebody other than who you are. Just know in your personality, God will illuminate in your life. In your situation, God will bring his power and his light at work. So in your distinct humor, in your distinct personality, let Jesus shine. In your distinct person, let it radiate. That's what we're getting to this morning. This isn't something you have to hype up. I love Charles Finney. You don't have to whip up a revival. It's not something you man-made. But when we are given to him, when we surrender to him, guess what? It's just our job to reflect his glory. The more we spend time with him and we allow his goodness to flow in our life, the more we allow his joy to give us a strength, the more we let his love radiate, his grace, his wisdom dominate our life, guess what people will see? His light and his love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us and in us. And Father, as we go back into a time of worship this morning, we just invite you to illuminate us. Speak to us, reveal to us, indwell in us. We invite you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? And as we go into this time of worship, we just want to just let the Lord just solidify this. Let him bless us. Let him guide us.